good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoors and Radio Show, where we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And we're taking your calls the first hour. Second hour, our guest will be Patricia Handy from Maryland Department of Natural Resources. We're going to be talking about National Hunting and Fishing Day, which comes up next Saturday. And this has been around since the Nixon administration, this event, National Hunting and Fishing Day. And if you have your copy, the latest copy of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, we have an explanation there about the Maryland celebration and about the history of National Hunting and Fishing Day. This year's chairman, national chairman, is Craig Morgan. And some of you know Craig, who Craig Morgan is. For those of you who don't, it happens to be a country singer who's a very avid outdoorsman, has a television show on the Outdoor Channel, and seems to be a really nice guy. So that's what we're going to be talking about the second hour. And we're going to talk about where Maryland is celebrating National Hunting and Fishing Day and what's going to be in place and that type of thing. I'm going to read this now, a little bit of this, some excerpts. Over 100 years ago, hunters and anglers were the earliest and most vocal supporters of conservation and scientific wildlife management. Guess what? Still are. Some hunters and anglers have lost their voice, however. They do not understand the history of the American model of conservation funding, for example. The Wallop Bro funding for fish and wildlife and Pittman Robertson funding for fish and wildlife. They don't understand that for every fishing rod and reel and every firearm and every box of ammunition, some motorboat fuel, some archery tackle, that the manufacturers have added an excise tax to the tune of 10 or 11%, depending on what it is, but it's in that range. And that the manufacturers add that to the wholesale price. The manufacturers pay that excise tax. The middleman, the dealer, the wholesaler, then the dealer, are all involved in covering the cost of that. And then finally, the end user is the ultimate payer of that. That money is collected just like any other federal income tax. If you're self-employed, you understand that it's collected quarterly for the most part. And it is then processed through the Internal Revenue Service, who makes a distribution of those monies, some for fisheries management, some for wildlife management, back to the states based on the number of fishing license and hunting license sales. So the more license sales we have, the more of our own money we get back. For the federal matching funds are for wildlife management and hunter education, those two things. That's where, when you hear land has been purchased by wildlife restoration funds or Pittman Robertson funds or something like that, we have many of those properties here in Maryland. That was all purchased by money that was paid by hunters and shooters based on this Wildlife Restoration Act funds. Well, anyway, over 100 years ago, hunters and anglers were the earliest and most vocal supporters of conservation and scientific wildlife management. They were the first to recognize that rapid development and unregulated uses of wildlife were threatening the future of many species. Led by fellow sportsman President Theodore Roosevelt, these early conservationists called for the first laws restricting the commercial slaughter of wildlife. They urged sustainable use of fish and game, created hunting and fishing licenses, and lobbied for taxes on sporting equipment to provide funds for state conservation agencies. These actions were the foundation of the North American Wildlife Conservation Model, a science-based user-pay system that would foster the most dramatic conservation success of all time. Populations of white-tailed deer, elk, antelope, wild turkey, wood ducks, and many other species began to recover from decades of unregulated exploitation. During the next half century, in addition to the funds they contributed for conservation and their diligent watch over the returning health of America's outdoors, sportsmen worked countless hours to protect and improve millions of acres of vital habitat, lands, and waters for the use and enjoyment of everyone. In the 1960s, hunters and anglers embraced the era's heightened environmental awareness, but were discouraged that many people didn't understand the crucial role that sportsmen had played and continued to play in the conservation movement. The first to suggest an official day of thanks to sportsmen was Ira Joffe. He was the owner of Joffe's Gun Shop in Upper Darby, Pennsylvania. In 1970, Governor Raymond Schaefer, and I remember this because I was alive then, adopted Joffe's idea and created Outdoor Sportsman Day in Pennsylvania. With determined prompting from the National Shooting Sports Foundation, the concept, which is the trade organization, still is, for the hunting and shooting sports industry, the concept soon emerged on the floor of the U.S. Senate. In June 1971, Senator Thomas McIntyre from New Hampshire introduced Joint Resolution 117 authorizing National Hunting and Fishing Day on the fourth Saturday of every September. Representative Bob Sykes of Florida introduced an identical measure in the House. In early 1972, Congress unanimously, the entire Senate and House unanimously passed both bills. On May 2, 1972, President Nixon signed the first proclamation of National Hunting and Fishing Day, writing, "I urge all citizens to join with outdoor sportsmen in the wise use of our natural resources and in ensuring their proper management for the benefit of future generations." By late summer, all 50 governors and over 600 mayors had joined in by proclaiming state and local versions of National Hunting and Fishing Day, and the response was dramatic. National, regional, state, and local organizations staged some 3,000 open house hunting and fishing-related hunting events everywhere, from shooting ranges to suburban frog ponds, providing an estimated 4 million Americans with a chance to experience, understand, and appreciate traditional outdoor sports. Over the years, National Hunting and Fishing Day boasted many more public relations successes, assisted by celebrities who volunteered to help spotlight the conservation accomplishments of sportsmen and women. Honorary chairs have included George Bush, Tom Seaver, Hank Williams Jr., Arnold Palmer, Terry Bradshaw, George Brett, Robert Urich, Ward Burton, Louise Mandrell, Travis Tritt, Tracy Byrd, Jeff Foxworthy, and many other sports and entertainment figures. National Hunting and Fishing Day, celebrated the fourth Saturday of every September, that's next Saturday, remains the most effective grassroots ever undertaken to promote the outdoor sports and conservation. And we're celebrating it here in Maryland next Saturday at the Associated Gun Clubs Range in Marriottsville, Maryland. So, Patricia Handy will be our guest. I'm giving you the background for her being here in the next hour. Your calls are welcome at 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. That is our phone number, and we welcome your calls. How was your week? How was your week? My week was, another week just being on the road and having a good week doing my work and talking about the Maryland Hunting Coalition with folks, and got to be in a couple meetings and talk to some folks about becoming board members and that type of thing. So it was all good. It was all good. There's going to be a public meeting this week in Maryland on striped bass. I believe that's the meeting at the Y Mills. Yes. No, that was the other meeting. Anne Arundel Community College. Wait a minute. What's the other meeting? Oh, Atlantic States Marine Fishery Commission proposed management changes. It's a public hearing on 9/25. I'll get some more details on that here in a minute, maybe when we go to the first break. But we had a huge announcement in Maryland. Yes, indeed. The Secretary of the Interior, Sally Jewell, announced on September 19th that due to a concerted conservation effort by landowners and other partners, the Delmarva Peninsula fox squirrel, one of the animals included on the very first list of endangered species nearly a half century ago, has recovered across many parts of its historic range, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is proposing to remove it from the endangered species list. I guess you protect a critter at a limited range for 50 years. There's probably going to be some of them, you know, breeding and reproducing. And I mean, squirrels breed twice a year, I'm pretty sure. I don't know how long it takes to recover a population of Delmarva fox squirrels, but I don't know. I know they didn't start with just two. I know when you hunt in Dorchester County, they sound like a rhinoceros coming through the woods. You think it's deer coming. You turn around and look, and there's a squirrel, a little fuzzy Delmarva fox squirrel. They are pretty, though. They are pretty. I've seen a number of them. Almost ran over one earlier this spring down. I did. It walked right out in the road in front of me. I had to hit the brakes. I thought, man, I run over a Delmarva fox squirrel. I'm, you know, yeah. Yeah, but officer, it walked out in front of me. That's no excuse. It's on the endangered species list. Anyway, the Delmarva fox squirrel is a perfect example of how the Endangered Species Act works. Not only to pull plants and animals back from the brink of extinction, but can also provide flexibility to states and private landowners to help with recovery efforts, while at the same time supporting important economic activity. I wonder who wrote that quote. I thought if you pulled plants, you killed them. But maybe I'm not a federal worker. Maybe I don't understand that. Delmarva fox squirrel is a perfect example of how the Endangered Species Act works. Not only to pull plants and animals back from the brink of extinction, but can also provide flexibility to states and private landowners to help with recovery efforts while at the same time supporting important economic activity. That was one sentence. I'm not sure how the recovery of the Delmarva fox squirrel supports important economic activity. But hey, Delmarva fox squirrel's back. That's the good thing. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Oh, man. I did get a deer last night, by the way. Yep, I did. I've been hunting on Fridays. First Friday, of course, went with Laura, and I told you the story about shooting a deer and not getting it that night and recovering it the next day, and everything was good. And then last Friday, I told you on Saturday, I went out and had, I don't know, 14 deer in front of me at one time, including this one big doe, this big mule-headed doe that seems to be the matriarch of the bunch. So I'm on the stand last night. It's a ladder stand, and it overlooks this little open area. It's like a shooting lane, and the deer move in from anywhere in the woods, from the field into the shooting lane. And yes, there's bait there, no question about it. I didn't put it there, but that's the spot. So sitting there, and a new camera had been put on the spot. And the first deer in stayed kind of, saw, you know, kind of looked everything over and stayed kind of, was kind of suspicious, you know. And I thought, well, wonder why that is. So I realized that the way the deer was coming into the shooting lane was that she was eye level with the camera and was kind of suspicious of that something new, you know, there where she had been feeding. And she had two fawns with her. And I thought, you know, if she gives me a broadside shot and doesn't bust me, I'm going to take that doe. Because I was there to do management last night. That's what I was there for. And so she came in and went out and came in and went out and never did present a shot. The only thing I had was the top of her back quartering to me, which is not a great shot. So keep in mind, this all happens under 25 yards. So she led her two fawns to my left, and I don't know what they saw over there. They came back and were feeding again, and I looked up, and a little fawn had come in on the bait, and behind it, it turned around and looked, and behind it was Mulehead. And Mulehead had her head down walking towards the bait, and I decided that Mulehead was going to go because she was broadside about 18 yards, and I had got the bow drawn about one quarter of the way, and Mulehead popped her head up and looked at me. The tail went up, and they just kind of all trotted away. Well, I thought, well, I'm done for the night. So I'm done for the night. So I'm just kind of waiting for dark, you know. I'm not going to blow out the deer out of the area. I'm just kind of sitting there and look. All of a sudden, I look up and there's another fawn on the bait pile. It had come from the field. And I went, well, that's kind of cool. We got deer back in here. She didn't blow all of them out. That's good. Of course, there's just tons of deer there. So I waited and I waited and I looked, and here comes another big deer coming through the brush. And I thought, okay. And I got ready. I'm ready to draw on this deer, and the deer walked out, and it was a 4-point. And I said, well, we're not taking that one tonight. Nice big 4-point, probably 2.5 years old, but big body size. So he got a free pass. Of course, he stood broadside at, you know, 19 yards. He stood broadside for, you know, 5 minutes. Finally, another doe. Perfect deer for me. Perfect deer to shoot. It was a year and a half old doe. Come to find out later, she was dry. She didn't have a fawn, which was also perfect. Came in by herself, presented a shot, and dropped her in her tracks with the bow. So I'm very happy for that harvest last night, and she will be put to good use. Now, John, I went on, and I'm asking you to wait. Should we take John and then do the break? We have time to do that, Brian? Let's do that. Hey, John, how are you? Thanks for calling.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I drive a dump truck, and I'm going 198 at Rockville.
Right.
Two lanes.
Yep.
North-south, where it splits in, you got the golf course there in the woods.
Yep.
Well, about 4 or 5 deer come running out about 50 yards in front of me, so I slow down. It's 10:30 in the morning. And then they go out, and 2 more deer come out, and 3 more deer come out, and the traffic starts coming the other way. They slow down to let the deer go by. Well, the first deer, I don't know what happens, turns around and runs straight back to where he came from or she came from.
Right.
Runs into the deer that is right in my lane. I'm doing 10 miles an hour at this point.
Right.
Okay. They both fall into a heap in my lane. All right, I pull up, I pull my brakes, and I'm watching. One gets up, shakes up, and runs off, and the other one lays there, and it's wounded.
Oh, my.
So I'm like, oh, man. So I'm thinking, all right, I don't want to have to plunk this thing in the head. So I get out, and long story short, I called the police, and the cops were there in like 10 minutes, and as the deer was pulling up, I mean, as the cop was pulling up, this deer died right in front of me. I had never seen anything like that, never even heard of anything.
What happened to the deer? I mean,
they hit so hard, it might have been internal bit. I did not see it.
Really?
Yeah. I it was the most bizarre thing in the world. It was this young doe. She had a fawn.
Uh-huh.
All right, you could tell her teats were full, but that was it. And no blood, no nothing, and she just, like, moved her legs and then just brought her head straight back on the side, and then she perished.
Just like that, huh?
It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
I've never even heard about that. I don't know if she broke her neck. I don't think she did because she was moving her hind legs. I don't know if it was internal. I don't know.
That's crazy. Wow. Well, you got to witness something pretty strange, so one deer crashes into the other and kills it.
Right, and one dies.
Now the one that crashed into, was it a buck or not? Don't you know?
I do not know. It happened so quick. It turned around and ran and bang.
Yeah, well, if it was an antlered buck, most of the bucks are hard horned right now. You know, she could have suffered a wound with a deer antler. I mean, deer harm each other all the time with their antlers. You know, scarred up.
No blood. She was not, no.
Nothing, huh?
Official wound, nothing.
That's crazy. Well.
It was bizarre.
Yeah, wow. Great. Not great for the deer, but that's a very cool story. So.
All right. By the way, one of the cop's friends came by and got the doe.
No, sure. I'm sure he did. Yeah. Why not?
All right. I'll talk to him. Get ready to lose you.
All right, John. Bye. See you, buddy. Thanks. Well, that's a bizarre story. Very bizarre. So. Huh. All right. What are we going to talk about here? Did you get your paperwork, Brian? Do I have mine? We could do Chesapeake Outdoors. We talk about Chesapeake Outdoors. Stopped by there the other day. Of course, they're all geared up for bow season, you know, and they should be. The weather's getting cooler. A lot of guys don't actually bow hunt this early. A lot do, but a lot don't. Too hot, you know, you get that. Oh, working, still working. You know, I'm waiting for October, waiting for that first frost. And that's fine. But, hey, look, Chesapeake Outdoors is ready. They've got crossbows and plenty of them by Mission, Barnett, Carbon Express, Parker, Excalibur. That's five brands of crossbows. They also carry vertical bows, compound bows by Parker and the great Matthew Solo Cam featuring the Creed XS. Of course, they've got custom arrows. They'll cut them for you. Crossbow arrows, bow tuning. They'll set you up. They'll get your bow equipped with accessories. And, of course, if you're getting ready for muzzleloader season, they've got muzzleloaders as well. Firearms for, you know, any kind of shotgun or deer slug gun, they've got that. They can order any firearm for you. Clothing by Drake and Under Armour, Bubba Blade knives, and, of course, a full selection of fishing tackle, live bait, and crabbing gear. First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers, Chesapeake Outdoors. Chesapeake Outdoors, located on Route 50 East, exit 39B, Ken Island. Their phone number, 410-604-2500. That's 604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors. Their friendly staff will be more than glad to assist you when you go in there for any reason. For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, hey, it's Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end, hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island, go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Custom-tied bucktails and trolling lures for rockfish, and all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org. Hey, the Crisfield Outdoor Expo. That's Crisfield. Yeah, that's right. Featuring John Godwin from A&E's Duck Dynasty is Saturday, October 11th, 2014 at Summers Cove Marina from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. in Crisfield, Maryland. The Crisfield Outdoors Expo, first one ever, is a family-friendly day celebrating the outdoors, hunting, and fishing. Now, there'll be retrievers and duck calling demonstrations and good food, too. Now, there's plenty of contests, too. If you like duck picking, well, they're having a duck picking contest, bow and arrow contest, some kind of championship, I've come to understand. Decoy retrieving, that's done from the boat, and a duck Dynasty look-alike contest. Yeah. So get that old Santa Claus beard out of the, you know, out of the attic and trim it down to look like John Godwin and put it on and go down and see. Visit ChrisfieldOutdoorsExpo.com or Facebook for more. That's Crisfield Outdoors Expo on October 11th. This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Now, you can hear 3 hours of The Great One, Mark Levin, weeknights at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
On the bank of the river stood running bare.
Is that the Potomac?
Young Indian brave.
Will this be at the Redskins camp?
On the other side of the river stood his lovely Indian maid. Little white dove was of her name. Such a lovely sight to see. But their tribes fought with each other, so their love could never be. Running Bear, love little white dove, with a love big as the sky. Running Bear, love little white dove, with a love that could die.
100% politically correct here. Hey, the population of fox squirrels is probably up because they're feeding on all the s'mores that the little kids aren't eating because they can't get too close to the fire, as per U.S. Forest Service and the president and his wife. Next, you'll be reading that the fox squirrel population is too high and the state government is supplying them with birth control. Congrats on the deer, and nice to put it to good use. That's our buddy John. Always a positive comment there from John. I enjoyed it. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. I don't know if you can top that last call, but it was that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I am still searching my emails for the date of the Atlantic States Marine Fishery meeting this week, and bring that to you as soon as we can. Anyway, it was a long day yesterday, so we had a good time, though. Got the deer out of the woods post-haste, snapped a couple pictures just for fun, and got the deer taken care of and hung in the cooler before, I would say, within 30 minutes. So that was very cool, very cool. And I want to thank my buddy JB out there in Montgomery County and for all his help. The whole crew out there is just an enjoyable bunch of guys to talk about. I bet Captain Rob knows where the Atlantic States Fisheries Commission meeting is, don't you, Captain Rob?
Yes, sir. Alan, the question I'd like to put to you and to some of your viewers, or some of your listeners.
That would be my viewers right now are Brian.
Yeah. Captive audience. On the 18th, the Department of Natural Resources, I believe, is having an informational meeting over in Annapolis.
Well, that would have been 2 days ago.
Okay, well, they had an informational meeting.
Correct.
On the regulations coming out.
Right.
Down by the ASMSC.
Right.
the question I'll put in front of you is it the reduction that they're going to put on the recreational and the commercial fishery? They really haven't discussed it, but in talking with individuals at DNR, they have passed on to me that the whole target of this is set at the trying to, I guess, protect or increase the breeding female population of the striped bass on the coastal, basically the coast off the United States, you know, with the SMSC. Now, the question and listening to what DNR had to say, they said that they are not adopting at the present moment a regulation with points and benchmarks on the Chesapeake Bay. We're going to have to basically abide by the coastal regulations. I mean, do you think it is fair that, you know, that we have an estuary here and a fishery that's been managed, you know, fairly well for 20 some odd years, that they should drop a Chesapeake Bay number and go by the coastal, because it's two fisheries, as far as I'm concerned, between the coastal and the inland bay here.
I'm going to be honest with you. I know that the commercial fishery on the coast has been you're talking primarily you're talking primarily about the commercial harvest, is that correct?
No, the recreational, because the recreational on the coast is 28 inches or larger. In the bay here, it's 18 to 28, not to exceed 2 over 28.
Right.
But they, what they have done, they are not using a number generated by our management practices here in Maryland for the bay. They've dropped that. We're going to have to be abiding by a coastal number in the bay here.
I know that there was discussion on creating a bay structured management option with the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries
Correct.
Commission. I also know that the bulk of the fish that we take here in the trophy season early on, I believe, are male fish. Is that correct?
80% of the fish caught, now what they said, 80% of the fish caught between the months of June and January are male fish.
Okay.
The only ones that we catch female is during
the trophy season. Right, okay. So the focus on protecting striped bass, increasing striped bass, or, you know, have we hit our harvest targets? Have we exceeded our harvest allotments in recreational and commercial fishing in Chesapeake Bay?
Right.
I'm asking you, have we?
No, because here's the problem, is that on the, you know, and respect to the commercial side, the accountability on the commercial side, Alan, is, I mean, you know, the commercial guys, they fill out daily reports. They're called in every day, weekly reports. The fish are tagged, numbered. They know exactly how many are caught, you know, on a day-to-day basis. But on the other side, and respect to the recreational, the only accountability we have is a random dockside survey.
Right. I agree with you. I mean, I agree with that, you know, there's not enough information, and they're trying everything they can
right.
with the volunteer angler survey and the dockside survey, which I think are invaluable. The dockside surveys that they do during the trophy season are invaluable
right.
management tools. I mean, they actually send biologists to the major docks and count the fish as they come in and take
right.
their samples and that type of thing. I think they have probably as good a handle as anybody does on that recreational fishery.
Right.
The answer to your question, I don't know what your question was anymore, but my statement is this. The Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission has too many moving parts and that they have to manage the fisheries for the entire coastline.
Right.
And that's what they're called, the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, and they don't necessarily look specifically at the Chesapeake Bay and its special circumstances.
Right.
That's the job of the state fisheries biologists, who
right.
do have standing in the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission.
Right.
So, you know, all they can do is present their case. But you know, sometimes they get pushback from other groups representing their recreational anglers in New Jersey and elsewhere. You know, when the fish get to New England, it's a whole different bunch of fish than we have here in the Chesapeake Bay.
Right.
So
the one thing that you know that I've expressed to both people in fisheries and you know in the upper levels of departmental management is that you look at North Carolina. You've got Albemarle and Pamlico Sound. They are exempt from any of ASMSC's regulations on striped bass, flounder, anything, because they have a management practice.
Right.
And the question that I mean, the question that comes into my mind, you know, I've been fishing on the bay now for 30 plus years, and every year I'm out there, there's someone out there doing some type of management practice on the fisheries. It gets a good question comes up in my mind. I said, well, here you have North Carolina is exempt from their, you know, their quote-unquote bays down there.
Right.
But up here, we have a 30-year management practice. What happened? Did someone miss something, forget to send something in? Or, you know, it's like it doesn't even exist according to ASMSC.
Well, yeah, I know that our fishery service has been trying to get them to look at the Chesapeake Bay put a better eye on it for us. But, yeah, our state folks are doing, in my opinion, they're doing a great job. We have a recovered fishery, you know,
right.
And are we micromanaging it to the point where it becomes burdensome to those who fish, or are we still trying to get a handle that we haven't been able to get on the recreational harvest? I mean, keep in mind, you got hundreds and I don't know how many thousands of fish get caught out there in the trophy season during the breeding season. And that's just,
correct.
You know, that's the focus. We want to sustain that fishery for the recreational fishermen. We want to sustain our watermen's, making a living on fish. But we don't want to over-harvest them, and we don't want to kill our brood stock.
Right.
By overfishing it. So we're being... I would say we're erring on the side of caution. Are we erring too much on the side of caution? I don't know, because as soon as you get across the Virginia line, you get to the Bay Bridge Tunnel, you got that December fishery down there, you got the North Carolina fishery, people talk about, you can go down here and catch a 40 or 50 pound rockfish every day. Well,
yep.
Do we really need to have that fishery to that extent? I mean, that right there, in my opinion, is harmful to our broodstock.
It definitely is. Now, last year, you know, it was good to our broodstock because they didn't catch many fish inside the 3 miles.
Well, that's correct. Yes, they didn't.
Yeah. So yep. that kind of helped our fishery. But I just, you know, which I would reach out to your listeners that on the 25th from 6 to 9 there at Chesapeake College.
That's right.
The ASMSC. I think a lot of people really have to come down and sit and listen to what ASMFC has to say, and then really get an education in what they are and what they do, because I think there's a lot of misinformation about the ASMFC out there, and it's, you know, I really, really would like to see, because a lot of people, you know, you sit around the dock and listen to guys, oh, where did this daggone regulation come from?
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's something that's passed on, you know, that's discussed with the ASMFC, but, I mean, they are, you know, understand now the ASMFC is a basically a glorified advisory, you know, commission that helps implement fishery management plans throughout the, you know, the East Coast on the coastal states. And, you know, the state, you know, gives them information and they react on it and see how they can work. But they're an advisory group. They're not, you know, they're not a federal agency like a lot of people think.
Yeah.
So,
no, they're not. So
I would just really hope that, you know, we err on the side of caution also, because if, you know, some of these regulations with a, you know, a 17 or a 25% reduction aimed at the recreational industry, I mean, you know, look at the charter boat guys. I mean, if we have to go to a one fish limit all year long, you know, look at the economic impact. You know, has there been an economic impact study done on this fishery?
Well, you bring up all kinds of good points. And, you know,
yeah.
I guess if the public is interested, September 25th, 6 to 9 at the Cadby Theater, Kent Humanities Building, Chesapeake College. Just go to where all the cars are parked, and you'll be more than welcome there. It's a public meeting on sponsored by the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Service. So,
yeah. And this is just to let you know, this is the first time the ASMSC has done And in-state, they did three of them, one in Delaware, one here in Maryland, and another one they're going to do in Virginia, because the meeting was going to be scheduled for October in Connecticut. And a lot of people expressed their concerns that...
Well, they did one. They did one in Maine. They've done three in New Jersey. They did one, two in New York. They did two in Massachusetts. They actually did one in Pennsylvania, one in North Carolina.
Right.
The one in Virginia is on the 22nd, and that's
22nd.
That's at the Newport News. If anybody, and there's also one in on the 23rd in Colonial Beach. And
right.
then they're doing one. They did one in Rhode Island on the 17th. I finally found that email.
I'm just glad that they're doing these field hearings so that people can get, you know, they can get
sure.
input. They don't have to go to travel all the way up to Rhode Island or Connecticut to testify about their state.
So yeah, I got you. All right, Rob. Appreciate the call, buddy.
Thanks. All right. Thanks a lot. You
yep.
have a great day.
See ya. There we go. Let's talk to Vince in Chestertown before we take our break. Good morning, Vince. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, Al. How are you?
I was looking for your email. I couldn't find your email address. I,
okay.
I put Vince in my search box. I couldn't find that. I'm like, oh, okay. So
well, you got it now.
I got it now. That's right. That's what I was looking for. Did you attend? Did you attend the meeting? Yeah. Did you attend?
You better believe I'm going to that meeting.
Did you go to the one in Annapolis?
No, I didn't get a chance to do that. I had to be away during that time.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you this, though, and the listeners, I think I remember a while ago when the AFMFC was looking for some feedback, and you could do it online.
Right.
And I did that. And what they do is they will send you emails, and they will tell you where they're meeting and
right.
what the subjects are and all.
Yep.
So as a listener, not only to your program and following that, action, you can stay on top of things, and you're not in the dark. And when people complain about the regulations, all they got to do is just respond to some of these subjects, and these people will get back to you and notify you when things are going on.
That's correct. Yep, there's a lot of groups like that. If as long as you get on their email list, you know you can be informed. You know, you do it with. You do it with all your, you know, Office Depot and Home Depot, and you know, I get these emails. I've unsubscribed to most of them, but do you know what happens when you unsubscribe to the big ones?
What they do to you?
The information that they have shared with others, those people start contacting you, and
oh,
it
that's
is
true.
Listen, it is annoying to no end. You know, you unsubscribe to Office Depot. Well, they've sold your information to God knows how many people. And all of a sudden you start getting emails that you have no idea what they're for. And some of them are for things that you would never buy, or never need. And it's endless, you know. So, yeah, because
like telemarketers, right?
They're worse than telemarketers because they fill your inbox up, and I'm deleting them all day long. So,
Lord.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what happens when you fill out one of those surveys and tell them how much you like their service at any of these places, and then they sign you up for their email list. So you can get news and specials from, you know, save money. Yeah. Okay. I like it.
So, you know, and I think your fellow was just on. Brought up a lot of good points.
He did.
There's
he always
a lot
does.
Of other factors that are involved here, not
sure.
just us in the Bay.
Yep.
That affect it. So,
well, I mean, we're dealing with a migratory fish. We happen to have it here as our state fish. It does the bulk of its spawning for the entire East Coast right here in the Chesapeake Bay, and somehow, you know, we have input, but are we duly recognized for what happens to striped bass in Maryland? I don't think we get the respect we get at the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission.
Yeah, and I don't think we do either.
So.
And, you know, what's the old saying? He who screams the loudest gets the most attention.
That's correct,
so,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, the noisy wheel gets the grease, right.
Maybe gotcha. They're screaming louder than we are. I don't know.
It's possible. All right, brother.
All right, Al,
thanks for weighing in. I appreciate it.
On the 25th.
All right. See you later. Thanks. Did I tell you about Clyde Sports Shop yet? I stopped by to see Bill and Clyde the other night, Thursday night. They were in there, and we just had a nice chat, nice conversation, and, you know, talking about things. But I do want to tell you, they are a full-line Browning dealer, and hunting season's here. You know, the A5, the Browning Humpback, yep, it's back. 100,000 round, 5-year guarantee. Great firearm. You need to take a look at the newly designed A5. Talk to Billy. He's had one for 2 years. He said it's the best shooting shotgun he's ever had. He's had a lot of them. He's the owner of the shop. So he has his choice of any brand, and he likes the A5. Then if you like the pump shotgun, even if you want to get a kid started on squirrels or whatever, the pump shotgun comes in 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and even 10-gauge for those who need it. And it comes in a 12 and 20-gauge rifle barrel deer model, too. That's the Browning BPS pump shotgun. Then for waterfowlers, there's the Gold Light 10-gauge. There's the Maxxis. The Maxxis is just, you know, phenomenal for waterfowl and any kind of semi-automatic duck and waterfowl hunting you want to do. The X-Bolt, high-powered rifle in all the popular calibers for if you hunt with a rifle on the Eastern Shore out in Western Maryland. 725 Satori Sporting Clay shotgun, now available in 20-gauge. It's all available at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9. 410-242-6108. 410-242-6108. And they didn't forget about you fishermen either. They have everything you need for fishing, bait, tackle, crabbing supplies. 410-247-FISH is their fishing hotline. 410-247-FISH for Clyde Sports Shop, 24-hour fishing hotline. Well, I have something exciting to tell you. Yes, indeed. You can join professional hunter Bob Folkrod and friends on Sunday afternoon, October 19th, for Seek a Deer Sunday at Bass Pro Shops in Arundel Mills. Bob Folkrod has taken the largest sickest stag ever filmed by a national television show, and you can see the exclusive video. Sika hunters and specialized Sika deer vendors will be on hand to celebrate our exclusive little elk. Someone or two from the Outdoors and Radio Show will win a $50 Bass Pro Shop gift card courtesy of the Outdoors and Radio Show on Sika Deer Sunday, October 19th, at Bass Pro Shops in Arundel Mills. I love hunting those little suckers, and if you want to learn how to hunt them and where to hunt them and learn about them, go down to Bass Pro Shop on October 19th. Meet and greet Bob Folkrod, see the video, and once you're there, you could win a $50 gift card courtesy of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, new location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org. Congratulations, Buck Bomb, on your 10th anniversary. Now, Buck Bomb products attract deer and improve your odds. Ambush is an all-season deer scent that comes in a larger can that gives you 33% more Buck Bomb for the same low price. Use it on every hunt. The Cornholer. It's a corn-based attractant that screws into the ground. Deer have to paw and gnaw to get it. It also comes in Sugar Beet Smash. Funny name. Serious results. Pathfinder is an invisible spray except to your flashlight. You spray it on trees to mark your trail into your stand. You can't see it in the daylight, so no one can find your favorite spot except you. Deer Domination, an attractant that can be added to feeders, corn, or whatever you're feeding. Deer Domination Ration helps bring more deer to your site. Visit your local Buck Bomb retailer, order online at buckbomb.com, or call 1-866-850-6653. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart, increase your odds with the Buck Bomb.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Wow. Turn that down a little bit. Thank you. Good grief. Hey, folks. Maryland Hunting Coalition is making some tremendous strides. I'd like you to visit our website, mdhuntingcoalition.org, O-R-G, or visit us on Facebook at MD Hunting Coalition. And we appreciate it. Now get out, stay safe.
The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the